Now, on the day in question, the day about which Jeff just read to you, Jesus was teaching. And a person unknown to us, but perhaps known to Jesus, we don't know, this guy, stood up in the crowd, interrupted Jesus' lesson with a personal question. Now, I want you to know, this never happens to me. My well-thought-out and carefully prepared lessons are never interrupted by people who have personal questions. Never. But I understand that it happens. And perhaps some of you in Jesus' place, teaching a crowd of people, have had it happen to you. And you know that when it does occur, your carefully planned, well thought out lesson goes to pot. The direction of the whole discussion is suddenly changed. You gotta deal with the question. Isn't that right, Howard? See. Not that Howard ever asked such a question. It's exactly what happened to Jesus on the day in question. This guy stood up in the crowd and asked a question. The question set the direction for the next section of Jesus' lesson. The question? Well, what the guy wanted? He said to Jesus, "Tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Now, here's the deal. You may not know this, but it is fact. We don't know who the guy was, but what we know from the question is that his parents had died. And his older brother was responsible, his parents' firstborn son, was responsible for dividing the estate. For Jews in Jesus' day, the division of the estate was proportional. And the proportions were set according to the law of Moses in the book of Deuteronomy. According to the Bible, the firstborn son, who was the executor of the estate, got a double share of his parents' estate. He gets twice as much as everybody else. What the guy who approached Jesus wanted was an equal distribution of the estate. He didn't want it divided according to the biblical set proportions. He wanted to get an equal share with his older brother. Now, he brought the matter to Jesus because in those days, matters of this kind were brought to the rabbi to be settled. You want to be really honest? You could save a whole lot of money if we would just do that today. Instead of Christians taking all of our concerns with each other to court, which is what we still do, even though the scripture says not to, if we would simply bring it to the church and submit to the authority of the persons God has appointed over us in the church, we could get all these kind of matters settled easily. Problem is, we don't want to do it that way because we don't want to submit to the authority of scripture. It's that simple. What the guy wanted Jesus to do on this particular day was go get his brother and tell his brother to do what he wanted his brother to do. There's a problem in that. Okay, got it? We bend before the authority of Scripture. Okay? Now, I want to do a little bit here on the division of estates. Okay? This often becomes a controversial matter between us. Okay, when there is a question about how an estate should be divided, the discussion often becomes bitter amongst members of the same family who previous to four have loved each other. Got it? It becomes bitter. Often, it stirs up strife within the family and disrespect. And always, the cause of that is greed. That's the problem that this guy had who came to Jesus on that day. He was greedy to get more than what he was entitled to get, and so he was pushing the matter, hoping that he could get Jesus to do what he wanted Jesus to do. So Jesus looked the guy in the face, and he said to them, "Who made me your judge or arbiter?" Now, can I explain this to you? He didn't really want to submit the case to Jesus' arbitration. He did not want the rabbi to tell him what ought to happen here according to the word of God. What the guy wanted was for Jesus to do what he wanted to do. It's wrong, folks. And that's why Jesus will not arbitrate the case. Because the guy coming to him doesn't really want to submit it to the word of God and accept the authority of the word of God. He wants what he wants. So Jesus refused to take the man's side against his brother. But he did take the opportunity to turn the situation into a lesson for the sake of the rest of the people who were watching what was going on. He turned it into a lesson on greed for the crowd of thousands, that's what the scripture says, who were listening to him that day. He did that because others in the crowd needed to learn the lesson. So Jesus took the situation, live situation, and turned it around for the sake of the crowd. He said to them, to all of them, "Watch out." Now, do you know what the words "watch out" mean? It's a warning. He's telling you to open your eyes, to look at yourself, to be careful about where you are. He said, "Watch out against all kinds of greed." Did you ever think that there might be more than one type of greed? Jesus says all kinds. There's all kinds of greedy behavior. Whenever indeed what we want is what we want, regardless of what the word of God says, we are guilty of greed. We covet our own way. He is saying to them, watch out for all kinds of greed. And then he said, life's value is not found in what you own. Oh my. For rich Americans, that's a hard one, isn't it? We like what we own, don't we? Mm-hmm. But it has no value in life. And that's the lesson that Jesus wanted to teach that day. Watch out. Be on guard against all kinds of greed, because life's value is not found in what you own. See it? But then, Jesus went on to tell a story. The story was about a certain farmer. Now, you notice the word "certain"? It's right there, a certain farmer. It's on the screen behind me, right? Certain. Okay, look in your text. You'll find it there. Do you know what that word means? It means a particular one. Okay, a particular farmer. It was probably somebody that the crowd knew. They were probably all talking about the guy, because that's what people do. They talk. And they all knew what had happened to this particular farmer. It was no secret. He was dead. They all knew what happened. Some of them in the crowd, undoubtedly hearing the story, were going, "Aha, I know who he's talking about." This particular farmer, rich man, had a really good year. Not like we're having. A really good year. In fact, it had been such a good year that he had more than he could store. So he decided that he would pull down all his barns and build great big ones. So big that they would be able to store all of his goods for years to come. And that is exactly what he did. Now, you want to tell me that the people in town weren't watching? That they didn't know who Jesus was talking about when he started talking about this particular rich farmer who pulled down all his barn? You think they didn't know? Of course they did. They knew. He pulled down those barns and he filled them up with all of his good things. And then it says he sat back and he said, I don't need to worry about a thing. I am set for life. I can eat, drink, and be merry. The guy was so pleased with himself, driving around town in his big Cadillac. Money to spare. Smug about his future. He thought he had it all together. His life was made. He was prepared to live out the remainder days, enjoying the fruit of his own labor. But, said Jesus, the very day when he got it all stored up in those big barns, God said to him, this very night, your life is required of you. And that very night, the man died. And all he had stored up for the future went to someone else. Jesus looked at the crowd and he said to them, learn the lesson. You can't take it with you. Storing it up in the barn so that you can eat, drink, and be merry gets you nothing. Instead of storing up things for yourself and satisfying your greed, use what you have been given to please God. For in the end of it all, pleasing God is the only thing that matters.